Welcome back to the Ozone Football Podcast. Rob Ogden and Tony Gerdeman here, as always. Today we're going to break down the bowl matchup for the Buckeyes and also look back on the season that was, or the season that has been so far. The consolation prize for the Buckeyes is an Orange Bowl date with Clemson, January 3rd in Miami. Although Urban Meyer is trying to convince everybody that it's not a consolation prize, right. He said yesterday that the mood immediately shifted in Columbus once they got the invite from the Orange Bowl. Are you buying that?
Not even a little, because I still haven't seen a mood shift.
No.
I mean, I think everybody's still
pretty
angry. Yeah.
I think so. How motivated is this team, really, do you think, to play this game?
Well, Jack Muhort said that, it would be a good way to cap the season with a win and show that they can overcome their adversity from the Michigan State loss. I think it's always... It always brightens things up. Would you rather Michigan State wins the Big Ten, they lose the Rose Bowl? Ohio State loses the Big Ten, wins the Orange Bowl? Which do you leave feeling better about?
Yeah, I guess that's one of the beauties of college football, that so many teams can end their season with a win.
Right.
Even if it's not, for a national championship like they had hoped it would be. But alas, it's an Orange Bowl. It's a BCS game. It's the 10th BCS game for Ohio State, I believe, which is... It's ninth officially.
Yeah, right.
But 10th if you're actually counting. So that's more than any other school, looking for their 7th win. So, there's definitely a lot to play for.
Right. And it's the first time they've been to the Orange Bowl.
First time they've been to the Orange Bowl in the BCS era.
Right.
First time since, 1977, I believe?
If that's what your research says.
I think that's what it was. All right. But before we get into that too much, let's talk a little bit about Saturday's game. Maybe just a couple of thoughts. What went wrong? What could have been?
I don't think I'm alone in saying that more Carlos Hyde equals a win, right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
And I think that, Tom Herman lost a lot of followers, I think, after this game. Because
the shift on Tom Herman was more dramatic than anything I've ever seen.
It was even more dramatic than the mood in Columbus after the Orange Bowl.
Exactly. I mean, Tom Herman was like, everybody thought he was like the greatest offensive coordinator of all time going into that game.
He's
going
to be the next Ohio State head coach.
Right. He was the coach in waiting.
Right.
And then after that, fire him.
Yeah, everybody's making fun of his Mensa card and, all of this. how smart can you be if you can't figure out to give Carlos Hyde the ball more?
Yeah.
But I think 18 carries for Carlos Hyde is criminal.
Yeah, because he had almost 30 in the Michigan game the week before, and they leaned on him there, and he came through for him. And the dude's been stopped for loss, once or twice all season?
Right, I think twice.
And in that game, he was averaging, almost 7 yards a carry?
Yep, and his shortest carry of the day against Michigan State, I think, was 2 yards.
Yeah.
And I think he only had one or two of those. And he had a 3-yarder, and everything else was, 7, 10, 15.
No, I agree. What did he finish in that game? 18 carries for 118.
Yeah.
6.6 yards per carry. Yeah, that's just specifically that 4th and 2. That's the one you really scratch your head about, that they didn't put the ball in his hands.
Yeah, it's... do you think Michigan State is thinking, Ohio State did them favors by, they were happy that Carlos Hyde wasn't getting the ball. Every time he didn't get the ball, you would think Michigan State's defense would breathe a sigh of relief, especially on the sideline.
Because they couldn't stop him.
No. Even when they stopped him, he would still fight for 3 or 4 extra yards and finish with 6 or 7.
Right.
So
after the game, Meyer said, they called that play because they wanted to put the ball in the hands of their best player.
Yeah.
But, are we convinced that they did that?
Right. No. Especially, running wide like that to the short side. They ran wide to the field side earlier and got a touchdown on it with Braxton. But with 2 yards, considering that was Hyde's shortest carry of the day, you got to figure the math and the possibilities. If you just give Hyde the ball up the middle, he's going to find a way.
And you have... what Meyer has repeatedly called the best offensive line in the country.
Yeah.
You have clearly one of the best running backs in the country. Why is that not the situation? Why are you running out wide trying to get a block from the tight end when you've got the best line in the country?
Exactly. Use him.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot that you can look back. And what about the defense? The secondary, did they make any changes from the Michigan game? Because it didn't look like it.
No, I don't.
What did they do in practice for the week between the Michigan game and the title game?
I think they were hoping that Connor Cook wouldn't be accurate.
Yeah.
I think that was their hope. And they've got to get rid of that hope.
Yeah.
They've got to do something, because simply hoping for an inaccurate quarterback isn't going to work anymore, especially not what's coming.
Yeah, I mean, he had 24 of 40 for 304 yards, completed 60% of his balls, 3 touchdowns. I mean, he looked like, he looked like an all-star quarterback out there.
And it wasn't a matter of his receivers making plays. They were just simply, you know, wide open past the defense. And, I mean, it was pretty surprising and unreal, except we've seen it before.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't have a 300-yard game before that game. I mean, the week before, he had 143 yards against Minnesota.
Yeah, I had somebody email me yesterday asking for me to research how many quarterbacks have had their career days against Ohio State over the last 3 years. I think I might have to do that because I'm assuming Cook isn't the only one.
That's a good question. I mean, because the week before, Gardner had...
Yeah. If he hadn't played Indiana this year, that would have been his career day.
And then, I mean, if you think about it, even some of the other games, Shielhouse had quite a day against them. Yeah. Jared Goff of Cal had quite a day. Trying to think if anybody else. Maybe. I don't know. But
and that's just this year alone.
Yeah. And you had this story this week about if Ohio State gives up 3 or more points to Clemson, that'll be third straight year they've allowed 20 points per game, first time ever in Ohio State history. So it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah, and I think offense is different nowadays. There's more scoring, but still it's a distinct statistic, you know, that 20 points per game for 3 straight years, that's not Ohio State defense.
Right.
Even with a high-scoring college football that we have now, I mean, other teams aren't doing it.
Right. And the thing about the defense, too, it's not, you know, it's not an issue of, you know, they're not getting pressure on the quarterback and he's having all day to pick him apart, because they did get pressure on him, you know? The D-line played fairly well in that game, but he still was able to pick apart the secondary.
Right. And, you know, Ohio State's tied for the lead in sacks in the nation.
Yeah.
So they get pressure on the quarterback. Yeah. It's just everything that happens behind them where things fall apart.
Anything else you want to rehash about this game before we move on to the future?
No.
Okay. As you mentioned, the 10th BCS bowl game for the Buckeyes. Clemson is the opponent. What are they, 11-2? Something like that?
What did your research say?
10-2. I don't know. I didn't do research. I think they're 10-2, right? Yeah, they're 10-2. Led by quarterback Taj Boyd, who's almost a Buckeye.
Very close.
Very close to being a Buckeye.
In fact, some say he committed to Ohio State.
Yeah?
Yeah.
He was close.
Verbal commitment, silent verbal.
Silent verbal? Yes. What's that like? He made like, he did it sign language or?
Yeah, it was, he got the guy that did the Nelson Mandela funeral sign language.
Okay.
So that's why it didn't stick.
Right, you should not trust that guy.
No, don't trust that guy.
That's where Ohio State went wrong. But really, they were close to getting him.
Yeah.
Dave O'Swinney said yesterday that, you know, when he was trying to go get Boyd, that he had Mike Bellotti on the back porch and Jim Tress on the front yard or something like that. So, but because it was Clemson and Ohio State, right? If I understand it correctly.
Well, because he was
it was Oregon and Ohio State.
Well, he was first committed to Tennessee.
Okay.
And then Lane Kiffin got the job. He was like, yeah, we're not interested in your type, type that might be.
Right.
And so, then it was
Oregon and Ohio State that it was coming down to, and then Clemson came out of nowhere.
Right.
If I understand it correctly. But anyway,
you look at the two quarterbacks that Ohio State has missed out on recently. You got Boyd and you got Jameis Winston.
Yeah,
who is, you know, some will say if Jim Tressel was still the coach, Winston would be the quarterback.
Ooh, wouldn't that be crazy?
But you know, would it be Winston or Miller or?
That's the weird thing I was thinking about. If Taj Boyd had committed to Ohio State, so he's a fifth-year senior.
Yeah.
So what year would have been his freshman year?
He would have redshirted.
His
Pryor
still would have been here.
Would have been here. So
that would have been 2009
would have been his redshirt freshman year, because he was 1 year behind Pryor, who was in 2008.
So 2010 would have been his freshman year, which would have been Pryor's last year. Then 2011 would have been his sophomore year, and he certainly would have been the starter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then,
Braxton, and he'd probably Miller still be the starter.
Yeah.
And he'd probably still be the starter
right
now.
He'd be a senior right now.
He'd be a senior starter for Ohio State right now, and Braxton Miller maybe wouldn't have committed to Ohio State.
Maybe Braxton Miller would have ended up at
Clemson
or Michigan with Rich Rod. Like, if he would have landed Braxton Miller, would that have been enough for, you know, them to not fire Rich Rodriguez?
But yeah, maybe. You wrote about this before the season started.
Yeah.
What'd you say in your what if? What happened?
I don't know. I don't read what I write.
Well, anyway.
There's another one. Teddy Bridgewater was, you know, close to being a Buckeye too.
Man, so. They could have all. Could you imagine a team with Bridgewater, Winston, Taj Boyd, Braxton Miller?
Because I think, and actually at the time, Bridgewater was like looking at maybe being a receiver.
Oh,
so
well, it would have been tough to stop.
Instead, they ended up with Joe Bosman in 2011.
It was worth it, though, right? I mean, you can't trade away the memories of that season for anything.
No, you cannot.
Regardless, Boyd, he's second team all ACC. He has 273 yards and on the ground as well this season, so he can do it through the air on the ground. He's going to be tough to defend for the Buckeyes, I have a feeling.
Yeah, you got to assume they're going to be chasing him all around. And the bad news about that is there's going to be broken plays and safeties looking in the backfield and not watching receivers run by them.
Yeah. Over 3,400 yards passing, 29 touchdowns, completion percentage up near 68%. So that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. But it helps when you have Sammy Watkins to throw the ball to.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sammy Watkins, surefire top 10 pick. Probably the best receiver in college football.
Yeah, and it's not like Martavis Bryant, his sidekick. I mean, he's a big dude.
No, they've got weapons.
And he's had issues catching the ball, but he's getting really solid, last half of the year, and he's a monster.
Yeah.
I mean, they're both ridiculous, but Watkins can do it from everywhere.
Watkins is absurd.
He'll get the ball everywhere, and it's no fun watching that guy.
Meyer said yesterday that, he could just be saying this, but that Taj White has the best supporting cast in the country. But, I mean, that's what coaches say when the coach is sitting right next to him. So,
especially former assistant under Lou Holtz, you're going to talk up every opponent as much as you can.
Right. But he does have a good supporting cast. Like I said, Watkins, probably the favorite for the Biletnikoff Award, best receiver in the country. He leads the ACC with over 1,200 yards receiving, 10 receiving touchdowns. He averages over 100 receiving yards per game. 85 receptions this season, first team all ACC. My question is, Ohio State couldn't defend Michigan or Michigan State. How in the heck are they going to defend Clemson, who has, a top 15 offense in the country?
Well, I think one thing they won't do is they won't throw a cornerback blitz because, Taj Boyd will just throw it up to Watkins or Bryant and they'll pull it down over, any safety that's out there. But honestly, I think there has to be a change or else there's no hope for the
Buckeyes. Well, that's what I was going to ask you.
Yeah.
I mean, personnel change?
It has to be because what they've got going now isn't working. So why not go to, whether it's, we've talked about it before, is it Von Bell? Do you put him at free safety and move C.J. Barnett back to strong? I think you have to get Von Bell involved somewhere because he's going to be your starting safety next year.
Yeah,
so are you going to put him at nickel and then put Powell at one of the safeties? But as long as what they've got out there right now, it's not working. And I think we both know, the weak spot of the secondary with Corey Pittsburgh-Brown. And
I kind of feel like it's more likely that they would put Von Bell at star and move Powell over.
Yeah.
I mean, how much trust do they have in Von Bell?
Well, that's the other thing. I mean, they trust Powell more.
Right.
But, they've got to do something different. I don't, it doesn't matter which one it is. But something has to change.
We've been saying that for a while now, though.
And we've talked about, maybe last week or so, they had two bye weeks where they could have done something.
Yeah.
And they didn't. Meyer's talked about, we need to get the freshmen more playing time.
Right.
And that hasn't happened. But at this point, you've got 15 practices to do it.
So
do it. Because is your fifth-year senior going to get better over these 15 practices, or is your redshirt or true freshman going to get
better? But have these freshmen gotten better over the season?
Well,
they don't have any valuable minutes.
Well, we don't know. I mean, 16 of them redshirted, so only a few of them have gotten to play.
That's kind of the crazy thing. Patrick wrote about that this week, which was interesting, because coming this season, the talk was all about these freshmen. Yeah. They had so much depth of all these freshmen that were going to be, come and make an impact, and then halfway through the season, Meyer's saying, we have no depth.
Yeah.
But yet he's saying, we don't redshirt, yet all the freshmen have been redshirted.
Yeah. And he talked maybe a month or so ago, 6 weeks ago, how, he thinks he made a mistake there because so many have redshirted. But at that point, you have to weigh six games versus an entire season.
Right.
And, each week you don't make that decision, then the decision eventually gets made for you.
Right. And, I mean, that's basically what happened.
Yeah.
And now he doesn't have these guys at his disposal. But if you're betting on it, do you think there will be a personnel change? Because I honestly don't.
You don't? I do.
You actually do?
I do.
I just don't believe it because we haven't seen it yet. And he's given no indication of it. But maybe you're right.
I just think that they know they can't go forward as
But they've known that.
But I think
this defense has, it's not like it just happened. It hasn't been good for a long time. Since Cal.
I'm just assuming there hasn't been enough time to bring somebody up to speed.
Yeah. You might be right, because now they got time. Yeah, I mean.
I mean, what's at this point, what's the harm? Before there was harm. You know, now there's, what's the harm of making a change? There is none now. Before, the harm was, well, we could cost ourselves an undefeated national championship
right.
season.
And now they can cost
now
themselves a bowl win. I mean, you think that they have more faith at this point in Von Bell than they do in Pitt Brown?
I think, well, that's the question, because, I mean, and they are going to play a ton of nickel, so Von Bell's going to be out there regardless
right.
if there's a change.
Right.
Or maybe, you know, what it might be is Powell to safety and Armani Reeves to nickel. Because he's been playing a lot of nickel as well here and there, not a lot of dime as well. I don't know that that's any better.
I can almost see that more, just because, I mean, Armani Reeves played, got some playing time this year when Roby was out. But he didn't play particularly well, I don't think.
I just think it has to be something different. And, you know, what that different will be, I mean, everybody wants to see Von Bell, you know, because he's the five-star guy, so he should be able to produce. And, you know, Everett Withers talked him up since signing day.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, you know, whether it's him or not, it has to be somebody, in my opinion.
There's a debate going on, too, about, I mean, what the issue really is. You think it's personnel, not scheme or coaching?
I think it's all of it. How often can you, I mean, the safeties are constantly getting beaten. And it's not because they're not fast enough. It's because they're not paying attention, or they're just simply not following where they're supposed to be. And, you know, part of that's on them, obviously, but also, you know, they have to be taught better, apparently, right?
I mean, right.
And that's the hard part of just being a watcher or a viewer. You don't know all of, you know, well, why did he make this mistake? Why did he do this? So it's hard to, you know, pin it on one. But when there are that many problems, it can't just be one reason, in
right.
my opinion.
But, I mean, they know that they have issues. Urban Meyer's a smart defensive coach. I mean, he won with great defenses at Florida and even at Utah, you know? So he knows there's a problem. He knows it needs fixed. So at what point is somebody held accountable for this?
That's the other good question. Do you think he puts up with it after this year? I mean, but that's where it also comes down to. Is it talent? Is it depth? Is it coaching?
Yeah.
And that's
maybe
something that he knows.
Right.
That's something we may have feelings about or, you know, an opinion on, but he knows what the issue is. And if it's coaching, then something will happen. Something will change, because he's not gonna go through with it for a third year he's so frustrated by these problems.
You think it's if he thinks it's coaching, you think Dickel, Withers could be let go, demoted, something?
I mean, like we're talking about with the personnel. I mean, if you know there's a problem, you can't keep throwing that same personnel out there.
Right. But it seems to this point, because they haven't done anything, that everybody knows there's a problem except them. But we know Urban knows there's a problem.
Yeah. I mean, you can see the frustration every time, you know, when he talks about, well, the pass defense came up again.
Right.
And it's not the bad pass defense, or, you know, it's the pass defense, because he knows it's bad. So he doesn't have to clarify whether it's good or bad. He's just, well, you know, the pass defense flared again. It's like, you know, heartburn or something.
And it's been a problem all season, is the thing. You know, back at the beginning of the year, he was calling the pass defense alarming.
Yeah, and it was supposed to be the strength coming into this season.
I know, on defense, yeah, the secondary. But then, I think it was the Purdue game, he said, well, you know, they made a big step. It went from alarming to not a strength, but, you know, whatever he said.
Of course, you know, that was a freshman quarterback that they were playing.
That was playing Purdue,
yeah.
So I don't know where they thought it was all season, if they recognized the issue. I'm sure they had to have. I mean, he did it at the beginning of the year. I don't know if he thought it went away. I can't believe that he, you know, didn't realize there was a problem. But it's just remarkable that nothing changed from Michigan to Michigan State.
And I saw some people mentioning maybe this is why Dontre Wilson looks so great in practice, because he's going against Ohio State's pass defense.
That's good.
I mean, I think there's some validity to that. And, you know, Jordan Hall as well. And, you know, Jordan Hall did look good this year when he played. But
I
think, you know, maybe that's why the Evan Spencer stuff in the preseason.
Evan Spencer looks great.
Exactly. I mean, everybody looks so great, and that may, you know, now
even Braxton. Remember, Braxton looked great. His arm. He was so much better of a passer. Was that it? It was just the secondary. Was that bad?
I think that's some of it, right?
Could have been. Really could have been. Speaking of defense, Clemson doesn't have a bad defense either. They're ranked like top 20 defensively in points per game allowed. Defensive end Vic Beasley is kind of a beast. He's got like 12 sacks. Ranks 7th in the nation, 6.1 tackles per loss per game, first team all AEC. So they'll have their hands full with him, but, you know, good offensive line. They should be okay.
Yeah, I think they'll be able to run. I mean, Clemson's given up 150 yards on the ground a game, which equates to about 300 for Ohio State, I think.
Yeah.
Provided they run the ball.
That's true.
Enough.
Before we move on, let's get back into that coaching just real quick, because we mentioned Fickell and a couple other guys. Is there a possibility of them taking other jobs? Head coaching jobs?
I think if one is offered, I think you'd see something happen. And, you know, I have heard, you know, about Stan Drayton and Florida Atlantic is sort of heating
right,
up a little.
Right, because they let an interim guy? Or what was the deal?
Yeah, they've got an interim guy.
But they let him go.
He went 4-0.
Right, but they let him go. Well, so, did you know that?
Well, you know, I haven't checked my Florida Atlantic blogs lately.
I think it just happened yesterday.
Okay. Well, see, I've been out of the loop. No. I'll Florida Atlantic is my Friday study.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'll get to that tomorrow.
Got it.
Florida International is my Wednesday study. So that's, you know, maybe I should go alphabetical.
So what can you tell us about them?
Well, I was sick yesterday, so I actually had to
watch
basketball.
BG? What about BG?
I think Bowling Green is an interesting landing point for anybody. I think an Ohio State assistant, you know, I think it would be a good spot. I think you know, Luke Fickell's luster is kind of dimmed quite a bit, you know.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of my thoughts, too.
You figure, what was it, after the 2011 season, I mean, he was interviewing at Pitt.
Right.
And now you wonder, would BG even interview him?
Honestly, if I'm BG, Luke Fickell is not my top candidate among Ohio State assistants for a head coach.
No, I agree. But, I mean, he's a good recruiter, but, you know, sort of like, you know, with Bo Pelini, people wondering, you know, if he could be an Ohio State defensive coordinator, and I want to be like, well, look at his results on defense right now. They're not very good.
Right.
You know, and it's same with Luke Fickell. He's your defensive coordinator, so what is he doing?
Right.
Other than being Luke Fickell since, you know, 2005 and, you know, having some mixed results here and there, but I don't know that he's done enough to warrant a head coaching job of the magnitude, if you can say that, of Bowling Green right,
right.
now.
And largely the past 3 years or whatever with the 20 points per game, I mean, he's been the one at the helm, you know,
yep.
for this, you know, pretty dismal period of Ohio State defense here. So I'm not, like what you're saying, I'm not sure that his resume is actually
that strong. I could see something along the lines of, you know, Urban Meyer trying to get him that job, like Jim Tressel did with Mark Snyder in 2004, when he wanted to basically get rid of Mark Snyder, so he, you know, made some calls and sort of tricked Marshall into taking him. And
that didn't work out well for them.
It didn't work out well for them. Worked out well for Ohio State, because then they had, you know, Haycock and Fickell working together, and, you know, then Mark Snyder goes to Texas A&M, and the Aggies get lit up.
Words are hard.
I know. It's early in the morning. It's like 11:40 right now. So
yeah, this is early. But I think one of the questions people are asking with Fickell is, if Fickell goes, does Mike Vrabel go with him?
I don't think so. I think Vrabel is at Ohio State for however long Urban Meyer wants him, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, Urban loves Vrabel.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about
that. That's why I don't think he would let him go. I mean, even... He's impressed him, like, in just 2 years, you know, he's, like, invaluable with recruiting. And
right.
Look at what he's done with the defensive line. So,
yeah.
I mean, he has results.
I mean, the defensive line was the weakness on defense coming into the year, right?
Yeah, I mean, look what he did. You lose four senior starters, well, including one junior, Jonathan Hankins, but you replace all four of them, and...
It turned into the strength.
You lead the nation
by far.
In sacks. So, I mean, they had... This defensive line had like 31 sacks, which, you know, going back, I was doing the research. I mean, it's more than they've had since before 2002. So, just as a defensive line.
Yeah.
I think the results are there. You know, whether you have to give him a title as co-defensive coordinator.
Right. That's the thing. I think you have to. Because if he goes to Bowling Green, he's not going to be the defensive line coach. He's going to be the defensive coordinator.
Exactly. So, you're going to have to match that. But the money will always be more. But you give him a co-defensive coordinator tag, sort of like Everett Withers is the co-defensive coordinator now and Luke Fickell is a play caller. You move, assuming Withers stays and they want him to stay, Withers calls the plays and you know, Vrabel becomes the new co-defensive coordinator, because then he has the title that he would have gotten at Bowling Green, and he'll be making twice the money.
Right. I mean, Meyer didn't talk. There's no single season that Meyer raved about more or raves about more than Mike Vrabel all season. Yeah. It was almost weekly.
And that and that includes Ed Warner, who, you know, turned around, you know, built this offensive line. But no, I've never heard him say anything bad about Vrabel, and you've heard him say things about other assistants that aren't necessarily great. You know, like, you know, he talks about the linebacker depth all the time and how they need to get better there. So it's sort of a shot at Fickell, and you know, same with the pass defense. He, you know, he's, but you don't really hear him be too critical of the defensive line.
Yeah, definitely.
You never hear him critical of Vrabel.
I guess the one wild card is Fickell and Vrabel's relationship, which is pretty strong, right? I mean,
right, right. Vrabel moved back to Columbus long before he was an assistant at Ohio State. So, I mean, he this was his destination to come back home to and move. So you assume if he was going to go into coaching, his eye was on Ohio State. He's got a family. You know, his family is here. Everybody's right. Happy. And sort of the situation that Fickell is in, you don't want to uproot your family.
Right.
And I think,
but Fickell wants to be a head coach.
Yeah.
Does Vrabel, I mean, what is, I don't know Vrabel's career aspirations.
Does Fickell want to be a head coach? I mean, he says he does, but.
Yeah. He says he does.
I mean, he interviews here and there, but, you, I mean, if I don't know if he's ever turned down a job, though, a head coaching job. I don't know if he's ever been offered.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, what's the better job for Vrabel, though? Defensive coordinator at Bowling Green or defensive line coach at Ohio State?
And co-defensive coordinator at Ohio State?
Well, if he's, about,
yeah, just that alone, I think. You know, he doesn't need the money, you know.
Right.
So a couple of $100,000 isn't going to be his sway.
Well, just...
But as far as the better job, I still got to go with Ohio State because it's...
Even if he's not defensive coordinator, if he remains...
Yeah, because you just think about what you're going to be doing, because part of the job is recruiting as well. And it's a lot easier to recruit at Ohio State than it is, you know, at Bowling Green.
I mean,
you're going to get more production out of your players because you're going to get more talented players. I mean... He's a guy that came from the NFL, you know, the best stages in football. And, you know, how eager would he be to drop way down and to deal with the talent of the MAC as opposed to, you know, being able to find the cream of the crop in college football at Ohio State?
Just for reference, Vrabel is making $291,000 right now as defensive line coach at Ohio State. The top paid assistant at Bowling Green makes $133,000.
Wow.
So... it probably would be a pay cut.
Yeah, and you also remember, I mean, this guy's a winner, so where can you win more? At Ohio State or Bowling Green?
Well, what? How many games Bowling Green win this year? They won quite a few.
Well, they are the MAC champions, and Ohio State cannot say that they are a conference champion.
That's true. You could have won a conference. Anybody else, though? Assistants?
I don't see a job out there right now for Tom Herman.
Yeah, because he's a guy we talked about.
I mean, he's eventually going to be a head coach. I think next year, if he doesn't leave this year, and I don't know where he would go this year, I think next year he'll find a place.
Yeah. I mean, is there a knee-jerk reaction with him, though, after this game? Because I remember a few weeks ago you were saying you thought he could get a BCS job.
I still think he can.
Okay.
But I've always said, you know, it would be after next year.
Oh, okay.
So I think he could get a MAC-level job this year. There aren't that many out there, though, right now, are there?
Well, there's going to be because... I'm trying to think. But if they haven't already, they're going to lose their coach. Ball State, Bowling Green, we already know that. Northern Illinois.
Do you think they're all going to find better jobs?
They do every... Northern Illinois turns over its coach every 2 years because somebody offers it.
Arkansas,
first it was Jerry Kill, then it was Dave Doreen.
Arkansas State is like a stepping stone job. They've lost a coach in the last 4 years. I still think he should hold out, but I think... Will that decision... be made by Braxton Miller leaving or coming back? You know, is it easier for an offensive... Would it be easier for Tom Herman to leave at the same time Braxton Miller is leaving?
Yeah.
Or do you think he might feel like, I'm going to be stunted next year? But even if you're stunted, I mean, it's still Ohio State. It can't be that bad.
Right. We should talk about that a little bit. Braxton Miller, pro prospects.
I think he's getting helped by some of the quarterbacks coming back, like Bryce Petty and...
And Mariota's coming back, and Murray and Mettenberger tore their ACLs, but they'd probably still be drafted above Miller. I don't know if you read my story, but...
I did.
Okay.
Yeah,
it sounds... I mean, we knew that. Braxton, we're not quite sure where he would go, probably. I mean, there were 11 quarterbacks drafted last year, and right now he's ranked about 11th or 12th at the quarterback position by most experts. In 2011, Greg McElroy was the 12th quarterback taken, and he was taken in the 7th round. He was the last quarterback taken. So I don't know, if is Braxton, would he be drafted?
Yeah, he would be drafted.
Just based on his athletic ability?
Well, he's also been productive.
Greg McElroy was pretty productive.
He was drafted, though, right?
Yeah, in the 7th round. He was the very last quarterback taken.
Well, you asked if he would be drafted.
Yeah, okay. But if you're 7th round, there's no guaranteed money in that, I don't think.
Yeah, the only guarantee is, if you make the team, then you're guaranteed your contract.
Right.
But,
I don't know.
It's still... And people don't understand that, $200,000 a year to Braxton Miller is, life-changing.
Almost as much as he's making right now. I'm kidding. I kid.
No, this isn't Auburn.
No, you're right, though.
So
it's a lot of money.
It is, but it could be a lot more next year.
Yeah, and this was in the story, Rob Rang of CBSSports.com, he's the one who said this, that if Braxton Miller comes out now, he's what Terrell Pryor was 2 years ago. He's a project. And, yeah.
Pryor was a third-round draft pick in the supplemental draft.
In the supplemental draft.
By the Raiders.
And it was by the Raiders. That doesn't count.
Well, the Raiders are still going to be looking for a quarterback, right? Again?
The Raiders took Darius Hayward-Bay with, the third overall pick or something.
Matt McGloin is their starter right now, so they can't be happy at quarterback, right?
Yeah, Braxton. Next Oakland Raider. Third-round pick.
He runs a 4-5, Sometimes he has a big arm.
Yeah.
Maybe you move Terrell Pryor to H-back, and then you get Braxton Miller throwing him.
Ooh, that'd be impressive. What's your thoughts, though? What gut feeling on whether he comes out or not?
I think he will. Gosh, and I keep going back and forth on this because, you hear things and then you start siding that way. But I think his signing bonus, if he came back, would be more than he would make if he lived out his entire first rookie contract.
So you think he could really improve himself?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Because there's guys that come back and then, like Terrell Pryor, he wasn't going to be... he wasn't going to be a first-round pick if he came back,
Well, not with Ohio State's coaches.
Is that a thing, though? But, that was then, but is that a thing now, too? Look at Urban Meyer doesn't have a great history of turning out NFL quarterbacks. I know Alex Smith is decent, but he was the number one overall pick. He's not.
We're only talking about getting drafted, not what they do in the NFL, though. Can you get him drafted?
He can get him drafted.
Yeah,
Tim Tebow.
First rounder. So, and I think that is why you would come back, is to get drafted at a higher spot.
Yeah.
Whether or not you're any better of an NFL player is sort of immaterial.
Yeah, you got to think he could improve on his passing.
Yeah. And he did improve this year.
Right.
He regressed again.
He did.
And now, if he doesn't regress, then he shoots way up.
Yeah, probably.
And you come back assuming or thinking that, if you don't regress...
Think about, Troy Smith, though. Dude was a 5th-round pick. And he was a great passer.
Yeah. But he, he was 6 foot.
Right, but what's Braxton?
He is 6'2".
Yeah.
But there were also some other issues with Troy Smith that sort of dropped him down. But... I agree. I thought, I thought he was going to do. Brady Quinn's a first rounder.
Ugh.
Troy Smith should be a third or fourth, right?
You would think. Tebow's a first rounder.
Yeah.
What did you say? Did you ever say anything? You think he's coming back? You think he's gone?
Right now, I think he's coming back. Last week, I thought he was gone. Next week, I might change, but I just. With how far, what he should do is get, the NFL,
the little evaluation.
Right, get the evaluation, and maybe that will convince him. I think he'd like to go, but it's just not a good idea right now. And I think that will eventually steer him to stay.
Yeah, I'm guessing he comes back just because I think he has to know that he's not going to be
right.
What is he, a fifth round pick? Maybe, I don't know. And, there's not guaranteed money in that. Nothing is guaranteed. But what are the other factors in that? Is the fact that he's losing 4 offensive linemen, is that a factor? Is the fact that he's losing Carlos Hyde?
And I've talked to people who say he definitely should go because of those reasons.
Right.
But, I think if you can come back if he can show his consistency, then, it would be... the best decision he could make.
Yeah.
Simply, like I said, he would make more just from his signing bonus than you know, a 3-year, 4-year contract as a 7th round pick.
I think the O-line will be okay next year, just for the record.
So do I. And that's the other thing. I mean, Pat Elflein is fine. Yeah. You know, Decker will be fine. Jacoby Bourne has played well. Yeah. I think you're going to be looking for 2 linemen. And that's normal. You know? That's a normal year. You're going to be replacing at least 2 linemen every year, generally. Yeah.
Just real quickly, Shazier, I mean, he's gone.
Yeah,
he's gone. He's a first-round pick. Yeah, we know Roby's gone.
Right. And I've been hearing more and more that Shazier is a first-rounder, so there's no reason for him to come back. And I don't think we thought he would be coming back, even if he was a 2nd or 3rd rounder.
But he's really solidified. I think he's a first-rounder. Yeah. I mean, the way he's played at the end of the year, especially.
And just wait till he hits the combine.
Yeah. So. Yeah. We know Roby's gone. He's a first, second, third at latest, maybe round pick. Hyde, obviously, is going to get drafted.
Yeah, he was Mel Kiper's number one senior running back on his big board.
Yeah, and I got a story coming out sometime here in the next couple of days.
Yes. I will read it.
Thank you. Carlos Hyde, actually one of the biggest risers from going from undraftable at the beginning of the season to now one of the top at his position. So stay tuned for that story. moving on, before the season I did over-unders. And I actually did remarkably well on these, so I'm going to brag a little bit. So I'm going to go through these and just tell you how well I did. And
do we have time for this?
Do we have time? Yeah, we got time.
Okay.
Wait, you don't think we have time?
No.
All right, we can do this. Just real quick. Over under 500 yards from scrimmage for Dontre Wilson. I said under. He finished with 441, so I was right.
That's pretty good.
Over under 65% completion percentage for Miller. I said under. It was 63.2%, so I was correct again. Over under 3,310 yards.
Wait, hold on.
Scrimmage.
How many of those were just simply spiking the ball? I mean, we should probably go back and check. Because that might be like 65.1 if you take away the spikes.
I think I've cleared that enough. Under the 3,310 yards from scrimmage, I was correct again. Although the 3 games helped.
Yeah.
I don't think he would have got there anyway.
You know, what did he average? He averaged.
He had 28.93.
So you multiply that by what, 14? And you're coming up with almost 4,000 yards.
Wait, what are you multiplying?
Oh, was this regular season you're talking about? Oh, okay.
What are you talking about? Oh, you're talking about 14 games. Yeah. No, we're talking about regular season.
I think 60, he would have beat that.
60 receptions for Philip Brown. I said under. I was correct once again. He had 55. I was incorrect, barely, on Drew Basil. I said 10 field goals. I said under. He had 9. But so that's my
You said under.
No, I said over. Okay. I'm sorry. I misspoke. I said over. He had 9. So I was wrong.
Yeah, you were way off on that one.
Tackles for Shazier, 115. I said over. He had 134. Yeah. This one I was wrong on defense. 30 sacks, which is what they had last year. So I said under.
Right.
Because they lost.
Makes sense, right?
They had 40.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. So I was way wrong on that one. So you can have that. Combined interceptions for Bradley Roby, Christian Bryant, and C.J. Barnett. 4.5. I said over, and I actually got that, even though Christian Bryant missed half the season.
Did you get it with C.J. Barnett's interception against Michigan State?
No, because they had...
No, he finished with what, 3?
He had 3. He had 2 in the regular season, and Roby had 3 in the regular season. So that's 5, and Bryant had 1. That's 6. So I'm way over. 22 points against per game for the defense. I said under. It was 21.3, so I was correct. And 5 games started by Curtis Grant. I said over and barely got that one. Not because he was bad, though.
No, that's so true. So, yeah.
Do you want to talk about any of these other predictions that you made wrong?
I don't know that there are any predictions that I was wrong.
Yeah, about the leading rusher being Braxton Miller. And do you want to own up to that or not? I won't make you.
Well, we go back and look at our preseason predictions, and what I said was that Braxton Miller would be the only consistent runner, getting touches every week, and that he would probably lead the team in rushing with around 800 yards. I don't know that I was wrong.
You were wrong, but I was wrong as well, so I won't harp on it too much. But we were right about... What were we right about?
Well, we were right about the offensive player of the year.
Yeah, that was easy. Defensive player of the year we were right about.
Yeah.
We didn't say Adolphus Washington, so we were right.
A couple people did. Patrick Murphy... said Adolphus Washington, wrote a lot about
pick.
It. Yeah, it's just inexcusable. I mean, he started, what, a few games? I mean, who picks a backup defensive lineman?
Yeah, that's bad. And maybe he met for surprising player of the year, you know?
But even then.
Yeah, because he would have been wrong.
Yeah, he'd been wrong about that one.
Yeah. Maybe he met, like, least defensive player of the year.
He just read it wrong. That's what it was.
Especially since he wrote it. So. We actually did okay on these, but I'm not going to go through them.
We can go to most improved player of the year. Oh, never mind. Patrick got that one right. So
I said Evan Spencer because that's what Urban Meyer said before the season, but I was lied to, so I'm holding him accountable for that. Yeah. You've got that one right.
Yeah, I said Michael Bennett.
Is there anybody else that could most improved player?
I mean, Braxton was improved, but he still that
Hyde was improved, but he was still pretty good last year.
I think it's Michael Bennett, considering how little he was able to do last year.
Yeah, I think it has to be Bennett. Yeah.
What about most surprising player?
Why is that one so funny?
Well, you had Michael Hill.
Oh, that was bad.
I had Curtis Grant.
Okay, Michael Hill got hurt, dude. He was bound for a great season. He had a great camp.
Hey, I mean, Joey Bosa broke into the starting lineup, so Michael Hill could have as well.
Joey Bosa, okay, everybody could have said Joey Bosa, but he was too easy at the time. Like, he was like the, you know.
Everybody could have, but nobody did.
No, we did. It was too easy, because he was a five-star D lineman coming in, like, oh, Joey Bosa, obviously. I'm going to go a little off the radar. I'll go Michael Hill. No, it didn't work out.
I went with Curtis Grant.
That kind of worked out.
Yeah. Brandon went with Jordan Hall.
Nah, that didn't work out. Most surprisingly, like, missing.
Yeah. John went with Marcus Hall. That's pretty good, but I mean, he's the second.
I mean, I was surprised when he flipped the double barrel.
I was not. He went to Glenville.
Oh, that's true. He did go to Glenville.
Then, Patrick, his most surprising player was Jalen Marshall.
I think he's right about that, because we were all surprised.
That was a surprise. Yeah, there was a surprise that he redshirted, so I guess we'll give that
good
one to
call.
Him. What else? Oh, well, we don't need to talk about the leading rusher because of the two people who got that right.
Yeah, we're not going to give them any credit. Leading tackler, everybody got.
Game of the year. I like what Rob had to say. Ohio State versus Michigan.
Just stop there.
Indianapolis, you heard it here first. And that was back on August 31st.
You got to need some credit for the bold prediction. Come on. Your prediction, the game, like, okay, like, good one. Like, come on, great prediction there.
You also said Braxton Miller would win the Heisman.
No, I didn't. I said Braxton would win the Heisman if the Buckeyes were 13-0 when the trophy was awarded, which they are not 13-0 when the trophy will be awarded, so I said no. You said yes, so you are wrong.
Yeah, but I also said it was rare for the front runner to win the award, so technically, I was right.
All right, we're both right. That's it.
Yeah, if we're going to talk about how many times we're right, I mean, this is going to go on forever.
Yeah, way too long. We don't have much time. We have just enough time to maybe put some final thoughts on the regular season, the championship game. Did this season live up to expectations?
I think the expectation was for a conference championship at the very least.
Yeah.
So
I think, yeah.
That being said, I mean, there's only one answer, right?
No.
No, there's two answers.
There is one answer, and the answer is no.
Right, yeah. You know, and it's too bad that you go 12-0 and you get a win over Michigan in Ann Arbor, and then the season is viewed as a disappointment, but that's sort of where college football is right now.
Yeah.
The conference championship games.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. To not win a Big Ten championship, we were coming to the season, we were like, is there anybody in this league that can compete with Ohio State?
Yeah.
And then, you know, to not win it, to go 12-0 and then not win the Big Ten title is just like...
You think back before there was a conference championship game, if you're 9-2 going into the Michigan game and you win Michigan, you're 10-2 heading to the bowl game, you've got to win over Michigan, you're thrilled, you know, things are good. You probably have a share of a Big Ten title.
Yeah.
And now, you know, you finish the regular season 12-1, then you lose in the Big Ten championship game, and what do you have to show for it other than another Leaders Division trophy?
Which?
I think you probably put that next to the Yellow Buck, right?
Yeah.
You don't put that out there with the Lombardis and
maybe
the Heismans.
Put the Yellow Buck like on top of the Leaders. Yeah, that's in the little lobby there.
Yeah, exactly.
Not out in like the trophy room.
They don't show that to the recruits.
Right. Even if they win the Orange Bowl it's a BCS win. I mean, you know, when they beat Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl and they beat Kansas State or in those Fiesta Bowl years and they beat Oregon in the Rose Bowl, those seasons were seen as successes, right?
Yeah, I agree. If winning the Orange Bowl makes it a success.
You think?
Yeah. Because that's what the bowl game is supposed to do. It's supposed to put the good or the bad cap on your season. And if you disregard a win in the Orange Bowl, then you're just being stubborn. I think.
Yeah, I don't think you can disregard it. I still think, looking back on this season, I don't think it lived up to expectations. I mean, expectations were to win the Big Ten and play for the national championship.
Right. No, and that's, at that point, you're right, because you didn't get the Big Ten championship, and that was your goal.
Right.
So, in that way, it's a disappointment. But as far as, like, looking back, you know, you've still got an Orange Bowl win. Everybody loves to chalk up the BCS wins, you know, and my school is here and your school is down there and we have the most this and that. But,
yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, they talk about Big Ten championships, though, right? That's the one thing they actually mention.
And when was the last time they got one?
Officially, 2009.
Yeah, that's a little extreme.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's tough to look back and say that this season was a disappointment, but, I mean, that's life in the big city, right?
Yeah, but, you know, also, if we're playing back under the old rules, this team does have a Big Ten championship.
Right.
You know? So,
gotta play under the rules.
Right, no, and I hear what you're saying. It's just a lot of, maybe if we look at it, like, a lot of the Big Ten championships that this team has had in the past, when, you know, they were beaten by the team that they tie, yet they still get a share of the title. Like in 2005 when Penn State beat them.
Yeah.
They still get, well, they're still Big Ten champs.
Right.
You know, so, does it mean more now to not get it? I mean, do you get more leeway for not getting it now?
What do you mean?
Like, you know, yeah, you're supposed to get it, but it's harder now, basically.
It is harder. So you're, are you saying, is it worth more?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Is it more okay not to get it now? You know, is it less disappointing? It's always going to be
still
disappointing.
Yeah.
But, is it more understandable if you don't get it now?
Yeah, because it's tougher to get now. Yeah. There's only, I mean, before you could have multiple teams get it in the same year. Yeah. So obviously when only one team can get it, it's tougher to win.
So I'm saying, should the fans' disappointment be less?
Fans be disappointed? No, because they went 12-1. They were one of the best teams in the country. They're playing in a BCS bowl, which only, you know, 10 teams are playing in BCS. Well, they shouldn't be disappointing, but that's Ohio State, right?
I hate those fans.
That's what you get for being an Ohio State fan.
That's what you get.
You're disappointed if they don't.
Yeah.
In a year where they should have been competed for a national championship, and they don't win the Big Ten, you're disappointed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But like we said at the during the game, you know, this is probably the only way they finished their season with a win was to lose that game.
Yeah, I mean, Jameis Winston against that secondary. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, that would have been ugly.
I think the score would already be 17-0.
Already.
Yeah.
By Christmas, it might have been 35-0. All right. Anything else you want to add about this season for the record?
No, I think it was a success, but ultimately they didn't get what they wanted.
Urban Meyer should be fired.
You know what? Probably.
Yeah. Terrible coach.
You know what? If he wants that Texas job, take it.
All right. I don't know if we'll be back next week. Probably not.
Yeah, I don't know. What are we going to do?
We'll do basketball.
Okay.
So that'll wrap this up for now. We'll probably be back on before the...
Yeah, at some point.
At some point before the bowl game, but... thanks for listening all year, if there's anybody listening.
All year.
All right. We'll do basketball in the coming weeks and hopefully be back on before the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
Until then, see ya.
See ya.